The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Hello, Anthony. Boker Tov.
Boker Tov, Benji. Shavua Tov. Nice to speak to. Before we get onto the main topics, I want to just raise up something which I know a lot of the listeners have been following. It's the story of BT Deutsch, the Israeli marathon runner, and ultra-Orthodox lady who has really impressed a lot of people and got a lot of followers around the world, and in fact ran in the Cape Town Marathon not too long ago. I was under the impression that she had actually qualified for the Olympic Games by the time that she ran in Cape Town, but apparently that's not true. Apparently she's still got some work to qualify. But another issue has arisen, and the issue is that the Olympic Marathon, which was originally scheduled for Sunday, August the 2nd, of 2022 at the Olympic Games in Japan, in Tokyo, has now been rescheduled for the day before on Saturday, on Shabbat. And BT has made it absolutely clear that she will not run on Shabbat. She's foregone the opportunity to run in the World Championships because of the fact that it fell on Shabbat. But this seems to be a real disappointment for her, because up until now she's really taken these races that have been on Shabbat quite well, with a pinch of salt. She said, you know, it is what it is, and she's moved on to the next one. But she's really been gearing up her training for the Olympic Games, and it seems as if this last-minute change, it's still two and a bit years away, but relatively last minute, because she had looked it all up beforehand, and she'd figured that she would be able to run on Sunday, and now apparently they've decided to change it to Saturday. But it seems to have come as a real disappointment to her. But she doesn't seem to be giving up quite yet. So we'll keep watching to see exactly what the Olympic organizers have decided about what the race ultimately will be run. And, of course, whether she will ultimately be able to qualify for the race, even if it is indeed run on the Sunday as was originally planned. So a little bit of a disappointment, but I encourage people to continue to follow her and her achievements. She really is an inspiration to many of us.
Yeah, for those of us who you know, do several blocks when we get up first thing in the morning and then take the block and put it back under the bed. She really is remarkable. Now, things that are slightly more last minute, Anthony. The current mandate to form a government is expiring on Wednesday at midnight. Are there any actual prospects of something happening, government forming wise before then?
Well, I think not, in simple terms, even though Prime Minister Netanyahu and indeed others continue to point towards the possibility of a government being formed between now and Wednesday night. I think that we've effectively resigned ourselves to having to go to what would be a third round of elections without a government being formed. It's an astonishing situation. And it seems as if they're the main protagonists in the Kahol Lavan party and in the Likud have kind of resigned themselves to this fact as well. And in fact, we had a meeting yesterday of the Likud Central Committee. This was a meeting that had been delayed from last week because Prime Minister Netanyahu was traveling abroad. Eventually, the meeting was held yesterday. It was officially held behind closed doors. No press were invited. But of course, we know what that means these days, because with cameras on everybody's phones and internet available, there's no such thing really as a private meeting or something that's being held behind closed doors, unless all phones and all technology are actually confiscated at the door, which clearly was not the situation at the Central Committee meeting that was held yesterday. Apparently, it was quite an unruly meeting, and the agenda item was simply to agree that there would not be new primaries for the selection of the members of the Likud Knesset list for the next round of elections. And that was passed quite easily. But there was another item that was not in the agenda, but was on the agenda of some of the individuals at the meeting, particularly Gideon Saar, who is quite eager to challenge Prime Minister Netanyahu for leadership of the Likud. And he has got a lot of support within the Likud, some support. I don't know about a lot. He has some support within the Likud, particularly amongst those people who feel that with the pending legal case now that Prime Minister Netanyahu is being forced to face, that he is effectively unelectable and that the Likud will suffer. if they go into the next round of elections with him as the leader, and they would prefer to have somebody who is perhaps more reliable and more believable in terms of the general public, and that seems to be Gideon Saar. Having said that, there is still a very, very large support base for Prime Minister Netanyahu within the Likud, and in fact, all the Saar supporters were jeered at every opportunity, and Gideon Saar himself was jeered and was met with shouts of Bibi, Bibi from the crowd, from the Netanyahu supporters. So a lot of cracks showing even within the Likud about what is the right thing to do next and what is the thing that is most likely to strengthen the Likud's opportunity, possibility of winning a lot of seats at the time of the next election. It seems to be unclear at the moment, and I think that there's still quite a lot of water to flow under this bridge, because the dates that have been touted for the third round of elections are not until the end of February or early March. And even that has caused a lot of consternation and a lot of disagreement, because general elections in Israel are generally held on a Tuesday. That has been the case since the beginning of the state. And when looking at the Tuesdays that fall at the beginning of March, we notice that the 10th of March is in fact Purim, and therefore people are unwilling to hold a general election on the day of Purim for many different reasons. And the week before Purim, on the 3rd, is actually the day that's been set aside as the commemoration day for those Israeli soldiers who have fallen without a known place of burial. It's a kind of a commemoration day of some sort. And if he's felt inappropriate to hold an election day on that same day. So therefore, we've got two choices, either to bring it forward into the end of February. I think the Tuesday before that particular day, I think it's the 25th of February, turns out to be Rosh Chodesh. And I think that that would be a possible acceptable date. But for the first time in Israel's history, there is some discussion about the possibility of holding a general election on a Monday. And that is considered to be a real break with tradition. I'm not exactly sure what the implications would be and why people would automatically be opposed to the idea of holding the general election on a Monday as opposed to a Tuesday. But be that as it may, it's been the tradition and the practice up until now to hold it on a Tuesday. So really, these are some of the discussions that have been going on in the back rooms surrounding this issue of a lack of government and about a possible next round of election. But the point is that when Wednesday night at midnight comes, no action was required. The mandate automatically expires, and the country automatically goes to another round of election. There doesn't need to be any decision by anybody, any action taken by anybody. This is what the law says, that country will automatically go to a next round of election. And even though both Prime Minister Netanyahu and Kahol Lavan leader Benny Gantz yesterday said that, you know, there is still the possible formation of a government between now and Wednesday, it was quite noticeable that both of them were at the Knesset yesterday, as indeed were their negotiating teams also at the Knesset, and yet no meetings. Nobody said anything to anybody. There were no plans. There doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency because of the fact that we've got two more days left until a government can be formed. So I think that we're kind of into that countdown period where the inevitable is inevitable, and that is that we will go to another round of elections for better or for worse, and hopefully we will finally be able to have a government formed, because now it's almost a year since Israel has had a formal government. We're moving into 2020 without any budget having been approved by the Knesset, and indeed many other things which are very, very messy as a result of a government not having been formed. So this is really becoming much more critical as time goes on, that we actually do get a government formed, and that we manage to somehow get the proper state management practices and procedures in place in order to govern the country, because at the moment it's kind of all done on an ad hoc basis, which is very, very unhealthy indeed.
Yeah, and while you don't have a government, the Gazans are not sitting back and are firing missiles. What are the details of that?
Well, there were three missiles that were fired late on Saturday from the Gaza Strip towards Israel. Two of the missiles were intercepted by Iron Dome anti-missile system. The third missile, we understand, fell in an open area. So that seems to have worked out reasonably okay, as good as we can expect under the circumstances. But obviously, the continued rocket fire is clearly not acceptable. It's very, very stressful for those people who are under fire within the Gaza border regions. And this is a continuing problem. It's not clear who was responsible for this rocket fire on this occasion, but we do know that the IDF immediately retaliated against that fire, but retaliated in a very measured way. In other words, there weren't any major retaliations, although Prime Minister Netanyahu and indeed Defense Minister Naftali Bennett both said that, you know, the Gazans shouldn't test Israel's patience because Israel is ready to really undertake a much broader operation if that's required. But at the moment, unfortunately, there just seems to be what they call a tiftuf. It's kind of almost like a drizzle of rocket fire that comes from time to time, a few rockets here and a few rockets there, and then a week goes by without anything, and all of a sudden, again, sirens going off. So this is very, very unsettling and unnerving for the people concerned, and, of course, very dangerous and unacceptable. And so it seems as if further rocket fire may well result in a more extended operation against Gaza. We'll have to see.
Now, very quickly, we just got 1 minute before the news, Anthony. A very interesting operation done for a young woman, a girl actually, who has a disease that affects her fertility. What was done and how was it done?
So this is just a new procedure where Israeli doctors have actually frozen the eggs of a seven-year-old girl who has been diagnosed with Turner syndrome. Now, Turner syndrome is a disease where one of the X chromosomes is either missing in total or partially missing and has certain implications for the young girl. And one of the implications is that she's unlikely to be able to get to the situation where she can actually have children. And even though this is even though the Turner's is actually not carried, is not a genetic thing that's carried and inherited. So in theory, she could go on to have very, very healthy children in spite of her Turner's. And for the first time in Israel, the eggs have been frozen of a girl who has not yet reached sexual maturity, not yet reached puberty. The doctors at Ichilov Hospital actually use hormonal injections to stimulate this young girl's ovaries, and then they managed to extract six eggs from her, and they've now frozen those eggs so that she, in theory, when she becomes an adult, even though her body will no longer be able to bear a child or to conceive, she could still, through the process of IVF, have her own children. And I think this is a fascinating new development that we're seeing going on within Israeli science, and just something that's worthy of consideration and worthy of mention as we see Israeli science really taking the lead in many fields, including this one.
Absolutely. And we'll be getting more news and Israel update from Anthony tomorrow. Anthony, thank you so much. We'll chat to you then.
Thank you. Take care. Have a good day.
Anthony Reich there. Now time for the news with Sonati Guma.